Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast. I'm Marcy Newman, your host, and I am so excited for our guest today. And I know you've heard me say that before, but I'm really excited for our guest today. And the reason is that I've actually been waiting for quite some time to have Robin Vogel on this show. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you, Marcy. Yes, we have been waiting a while, haven't we?
Yeah. And, you know, just for our audience's info here, just to share what's a little bit about what's been going on is, as you know, with the pandemic and all of the, complications of life, right? Mm-hmm. Where Robin and I may have been able to meet personally before because we live in the same general area in Massachusetts, and I could have attended some of her workshops. All of that, of course, was cut short. And so we have been communicating in a number of ways, but also got stuck in the most recent Mercury in retrograde that has honestly left us both just in awe and laughing that we actually made it today. So
that's really true.
It is so true. But anyway, I want to tell you about Robin, why she's so special and why she's so special to me, and really why I'm so happy that she's here. So Robin is a psychotherapist, a certified relationship and sex coach, and creator of Come Back to Love and the Come Back to Love Affair Recovery Program. Remember that. Robin integrates and shares traditional psychological principles with spiritual and tantric philosophy and practice. She teaches, but also demonstrates how to master the skills of intimacy and the art of living a life filled with love, no matter what. Robin's superpower is intimacy. And you're going to hear much more about that. But when it comes to healing after the devastation of an affair or betrayal, Robin's non-judgmental presence and love are bar none. Her program is receiving accolades across the globe, with couples returning to a loving connection, a new and improved one that is built on trust and joy. Those who are struggling in relationship, feeling lost around love, and deeply crave connection gain much insight and healing in their work with Robin. For 20 years, she's been teaching and practicing Tantra as a foundational spiritual practice that grounds from within, removes obstacles to loving deeply, and teaches all aspects of healthy, sustainable relationship. Robin facilitates intimacy workshops and leads Tantra retreats and vacations internationally. She has been recognized as an expert in her field by the Boston Globe and offers professional training for therapists and spiritually seeking students. I'd love to officially welcome you here, Robin, to this very sacred and intimate space.
Thank you so much, Marcy. That was beautiful.
Well, you're beautiful. And what I want to share with our audience that is not here in your bio is that so much of what I've learned about you and who you are as a teacher and what you hold dear is indeed that you are one of those wonderful examples of walking the talk. So everyone, and we'll give you information all about this, but Robin holds a weekly meetup, and it's called Daily Intimacy, but it's held every single week on Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. That's Eastern time. And it's a program where she has wonderful speakers and teachers from all different walks of life, all kinds of modalities, but it's of course with the focus of introducing us to different aspects of intimacy. And so Robin, of course, we have to ask a very important question.
I'm ready.
What's a nice Jewish girl like you doing in a place like this?
That's a great question. Yeah, a nice Jewish girl would ask that question. Or a nice Jewish man, I guess. Yes, that's a really good question.
Tell us.
A really good question. Well, so, you know, it's interesting because I'm just contemplating how far back to go. But I will go back as far as like the early 2000s, when I found myself in a relationship I didn't ever expect to have. I had done some healing work earlier. So like in my early 30s, as a new mom, and I really needed a space for myself. And I was having inklings or murmurings of something that I had never experienced before, but I knew that I needed. And so I joined a program for women. It was like a year long. Actually, it was called Priestess. Speaking of Jewish girl, it was called Priestess Path Apprenticeship, which just my mind could not wrap around that word priestess at that time. I was like, oh my goodness, what is this? I was so curious.
And I can hear your mother. Oy vey. Yeah, exactly. What is she doing now?
Exactly. Exactly. And I just felt like I needed something, and I felt really drawn to this experience. I had a friend who was exploring it. And so, that's only a small piece of the story, although it was a huge piece of my healing journey. But I got to witness in other people this deep intimacy between friends and friendships, between women and in community, which in retrospect, I had experienced. It's really interesting you brought the Jewish piece out, because in retrospect, I had experienced as a teenager in like Jewish youth group and, mm-hmm. you know, things I did as a teenager. And that I think was very, very unique, because there are some people, when you say in community or use the word community, they actually don't have a reference point for that, what that is, what that means, and what that experience is. So I had a touchstone in as a teenager, which I feel pretty much saved my life as a teenager, honestly. And then it sort of, you know, dissipated in college and whatever. And then I stepped into this healing community with the women, and I witnessed and I experienced myself, you know, my personal growth really, really began then. And I witnessed intimacy between women, and I felt I want that. And I remember having the feeling, which probably was similar to earlier in my life, that that was for other people. Like that level of love and connection wasn't for me, it was for other people. It was those people over there that could experience that. And then of course, you know, sort of moving through life, again, I was a new mom, so I was very focused at home with my son. I started to understand that I could have that as well, and that it wasn't just for those people over there, and that it was a matter of opening myself up to those experiences, opening my heart and being willing to connect and be vulnerable. And so in that context, I then found myself in a relationship in my early 40s, where that there was such a deep invitation for that level of connection, like I hadn't really experienced before. And I was so new and so young in some ways that I just was sort of wide-eyed, but I experienced something that I felt was God. And again, as a, you know, teen growing up and, you know, sort of reformed Judaism, you know, I had a sort of God, like a man in the sky kind of thing, you know, when I was young.
Sure.
Yeah. And not really a sense of an embodied sense of what that meant, at least not consciously at the time. But this experience with this partner, the only word that came to me, and it just sort of came to me, was God. Mm. And I felt like so curious and a little afraid and confused. And I said to him, you know, I feel God, like I sort of stumble, like I'm stumbling over it now. I'm doing it on purpose because that's how it was. You know, at the time I was like, I don't know. I had this experience and it felt like God, you know, like what? And he, because of who he was like, yes, you know, yes, of course. So, so from that point, I was like, okay, I have to learn more about this. I have to study this. I have to, you know, I'm sort of among the, you know, East Coast, you know, overeducated, you know, I have two master's degrees. I was like, you know, I just had to study, study, study. And so that's what I thought. Anyway, I did actually embark on a study of Tantra at that time and just started learning a lot about spirituality and relationship and intimacy and sort of the interlocking pieces of all of those aspects of life. And it got me on my journey. I feel like that relationship was a major course correction in my life. It was like, you're a little to the left or the right. You need to be here in the middle here. And yeah, we actually started teaching together workshops at that time because he really wanted to just dive in and start, you know, gathering people and sharing with them. And for me, as I said, it was brand new. I felt like I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. And, but I did it because I felt the invitation so strongly. And I felt like if someone invites me, I feel, yes, I'm going to try that and do that. At least, you know, that's what I felt then, that was really the right path for me. So it all began there. It was probably, yeah, 2000, early 2000s when we started teaching some workshops together.
Okay. So first I want to just acknowledge for everyone, you know, really what Robin just described is that journey from our heads to our hearts. And that there are moments in our lives that are so pivotal that it's always a call to the heart. And of course, sometimes we're ready to accept it and take that plunge. And other times we just say, oh, maybe like where you were before that, Robin. Oh, one more degree, one more course, one more class. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. And yet innately, we all know that that's exactly where we need to be. And so life sort of conspires to get us there. And how beautiful that you found this cosmic experience and found God through that relationship. Of course, what you found was yourself and all that you are, and you know, obviously have expanded and extended yourself as love in so many ways since then. But I do want to ask, for the purpose of giving support and inspiration to our community who will be hearing this interview, what was it like for you to try to explain to people what was happening with you and this divergence of your life? And secondly, what was their response?
It's a good question. Well, I was married at the time earlier before that relationship happened. And just to back up to that, that was very difficult because I was really growing at, like, you know, record speed and shifting, as you said, from my head to my heart and really recognizing my life journey. And it wasn't in alignment with what I had originally thought. So I chose a partner and a life that I thought was resonant with me at the time when I was in my 20s. But later on, you know, it really wasn't in alignment. And so that was very painful because I left that relationship and thankfully stayed in a very good partnership, co-parent partnership with my children's father. And I'm grateful for that. But that was hard. You know, that was a whole part of my community, my family, that that struggled with my choices. And it was like, I couldn't, I mean, you said it in a certain way. I couldn't say no. I had to. It's like my soul had to. Like, this is the journey. There wasn't any stopping me. It was like, it wasn't even possible. And then when I was stepping into the teaching, I have to say people were like basically really happy, you know, they were also really hungry for it and were coming, you know, to the workshops. And I had already been part of a personal growth community, the Human Awareness Institute. And so, you know, there were a lot of people really open to the ideas and really wanting more. In fact, a sad part of the story is that that partner passed away about 5 years into our relationship.
Oh.
So that was, you know, that's another piece of the story. And I didn't teach for a while after that because it was too painful. And I also needed to find myself in the teaching because, you know, what I had embraced was this co-teaching, you know, also like a male-female model and, you know, masculine-feminine in front of the room piece. And so I needed to do, you know, the grieving that I needed and also to just allow myself to receive my version of what I was going to be offering. And I, you know, tried different things and I let the pain be there and I taught, you know, some different things in those earlier years after taking a break. So when I came back to it, people were like, they were waiting for me that whole time. You know, when are you going to lead? You know, when's the next? And I was like, I need time. Mm-hmm. So when I came to it, again, it's a moment I will never forget, you know, another pivotal moment, but I sat down in front of my laptop and I just let a description of like a 2-hour, 3-hour workshop come to me, which was similar to what, you know, what we had done, what Dale and I had done years before, but still my own version of it. And I just remember it just coming through really clearly. I wrote it out. It just sort of flowed in that moment. And I sent it out. And there were other synchronicities before. Someone handed me a meetup group like, hey, there's a couple thousand people here and they're interested in Tantra. Want to take the group over? And I was like, okay. So there was a lot of that. But I have to tell this story because when I sent the email out with the description, I wanted it to be, at the time, I wanted it to be gender balanced, like a masculine feminine balance. And literally 18 men and 18 women signed up.
Like, wow.
Okay. Universe. Thank you.
which also in the Jewish tradition is chai.
Yes.
And it means to life.
Yes.
There are no coincidences.
Marcy, I have not put that together until now because it was literally 18 and 18.
Wow. I just got God bumps.
I did too.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that was celebration to your life, your new life. Oh my God, I'm covered from like head to toe.
I am too. Wow. Yeah, it was. It was confirmation. And I just, after that, you know, went really well. And then I was like, well, I'll do another one. I just took it step by step. And I think, you know, that's one of the things for people that are listening. I think there's a lot of like trying to force things because our minds are so engaged. And, you know, for me as well, you know, trying to force programs or, you know, I say force, like trying to kind of make something happen because my mind thinks it's a good idea. And it's really hard to do that. It's hard to do that. And we don't have to work that hard, in my opinion, because when it's right and we're moving from our heart and we're listening, things like this happen, the synchronicity of being handed the meetup group of people signing up in that way that I just described and taking it step by step and seeing, I was like, I wonder what will happen the next time. Maybe that was just a one-time thing, but it kept happening over and over again. And I was like, okay, I'll just keep going. And that's how it all happened. It's like so miraculous. I mean, it was amazing. And it's really an amazing experience to have had. I feel really blessed. But people would come in and say like, hey, why don't you do a weekend retreat? And I'm like, okay. So I did it. And somebody said, hey, will you take us to some tropical place? And I was like, okay. Literally, people just literally like inviting me to the next step.
You know, you bring up some really important aspects. And thank you so much, by the way, for sharing your journey with us. But one of the things that I think is actually so much in the forefront of our lives now, and it's like this huge message, the jig's up, you know, like you are being called into being an expression of your purpose, right? The way that you can most share the gifts that you have come here with. And I think so many of those who are healers and, you know, refer to themselves as light workers, they have sort of kept all of this on the down low, and that only in certain communities have they allowed themselves to really share it and have also sometimes kept it as a hobby, right? In which you could have done all of that, but you didn't. And what you described was this need. You could feel your soul's like yearning for this. And I want to, number one, commend you. It takes a lot of courage to follow those urgings, particularly when they are so far removed from the conditioning of roles and religion and societal confines that we have been raised in. And so, like what I said, I can hear your mother now. Oy vey, what is she doing? You know, I know it wasn't just your mother. I know it was, you know, that immediate familial community that was there for you while you were married and celebrating all of those wonderful moments in your life, becoming a mother and wife and all of that. And I know how important that is in how you were raised. And so here you are, you know, deviating from that in such an extreme way. And yet everything that you're describing is something that actually I have experienced myself, but it's like the universe lays itself at your feet, just exactly as you described. Well, how about this? And how about that? And oh, let's go there. And let's do that. It's like all of these roads just begin to open up, and it's all directed from and, of course, to your heart. So it's not a one-way street. It is a two-way, right? And it just keeps feeding and feeding and growing and growing. And I think it's such an important message for our listeners, because it takes trust. And it also just takes sometimes putting your blinders on, doesn't it, Robin?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it takes trust, and it takes not being distracted. And I think that's, you know, another way of saying putting your blinders on.
That's right.
Yeah, because I remember a long time ago, I used to say to people, like, if I could just get paid for the ideas I have, I would be, you know, a millionaire, because I had so many ideas, because I'm an extremely creative person. And my mind, you know, very active. And but that was all distraction, you know, it's just all a distraction. And that's okay, because we all, you know, the pace is the pace, and the steps we take are the steps we take. And that was purposeful in its own way as well. But we can get distracted from what's in true alignment so easily. You know, something, there's shiny pennies everywhere.
Sure.
And it's easy. And I think, you know, what you said, I mean, that's life, right? That's the meditation of life, you know, coming back to our breath, coming back to our heart, and staying and listening inside rather than getting distracted outside. And I think the synchronicity, not so, you know, but not so unintentional, so intentional, is this what's happening right now, like you said, with the pandemic, and on a huge, you know, universal level, inviting us to stop and go inside.
Mm-hmm.
and pay attention to our hearts and what the whisperings are. And maybe the voice is loud, Usually it's a whisper at first because we're not used to paying attention to it or hearing. And really following, you know, just what you said, our purpose, our dharma, our reason for being here. I mean, it's a huge wake-up call, in my opinion. And again, just my opinion, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. But I just feel like it's just on a global level, what happens to us on a micro level.
Yeah, I agree. So one of the things I have to ask also is you were evolving into all that you are today. Is you mentioned having children. How old are they?
17 and a half, my daughter, and my son is 22.
Okay.
Almost 23.
And so what were their reactions to you becoming a sex coach, becoming connected to Tantra?
Do you know the show Sex Education?
Yes. And I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Oh my son. God, I had a vision of that this morning.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh.
Yeah, my son recently told me that he's the one who told me about it. And I loved the show, both seasons. He told me that his friends were asking him, you know, is that what it's like at your house? You know, like, is that how your mom is? You know? I think, you know, it's interesting with my kids. You know, children are, you know, how they are. I left books on the shelves. The appropriate ones, the ones I would, you know, tuck away in my closet. Who knows if they still found those? I don't know.
It's all good. Children do.
But I think their feeling is, you know, they're different, but I think generally they feel, a very open, a lot of openness with me, you know, that I'm open to.
Yeah.
To life and to experiences, and that I believe anything's possible. I've been bringing that to my son again and again recently. It's like, we want, like, to me, I really believe that anything's possible, anything. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, he might come with an obstacle or, you know, what about this? This would get in the way. And I'm like, no, we can make that happen. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I believe. And that's what I experience. And, so yeah. And I think that's really the main thing. I think they feel that nothing has to be hidden and that we can talk about, you know, things that other people might not want to talk about. Sex being one of them, you know, bodies, sex, body size, you know, sexual trauma. You know, these days, you know, everything around gender and, you know, everything that's happening in the world with Me Too, like there's so much that this next generation is just being raised so differently, which I'm really grateful for. And they teach me things, you know, my daughter's, you know, always bringing me something, around, gender or sexual expression. That's a word I hadn't heard yet, or, you know, things like that. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, you know, I think they probably think I'm pretty cool and pretty annoying, you know.
Oh, I'm sure that they think
I'm a mother.
You're definitely cool, but I did have an image of like these little faces and their hands on the windowsills outside trying to peek into your house.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What also came to mind is, remember that movie with Barbara Streisand and, yes. Ben Stiller as her son.
Yes.
And, oh my God. Just hysterical. Absolutely hysterical.
Yes.
But I know from my own children, that, so it's been a very challenging journey for them to have me as a single mother. And when I, you know, bring up things like dating, and of course I've also brought up the fact that, I have been part of a couple of different tantric groups depending on where I lived, and you know, now I'm so much enjoying yours every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. I mean, it's in my schedule, which is
I'm glad
amazing. Yeah. And you know, they shy away, and I don't think that that's so unusual for kids, you know, to begin to embrace their parents as sexual beings and you know, just seeing us as people. And I imagine that so much of who you have become and what you teach is taken out into the world through them.
Yeah, in some way, absolutely. I mean, I think the spiritual part is, you know, in some ways the strongest that they bring out into the world.
Yeah.
It's like my daughter will say things like, I forgot what she said recently, something like, you know, well, you like a lot of space. You like to, you go inside and make decisions, you know, things like that, that she'll just notice about me, you know. Or like, I'll change my mind because I don't do this so much anymore. And thank God, actually the pandemic is, you know, part of the reason, but you know, if I plan something ahead and I get in the moment that it's not right, I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
Absolutely not. And they have that opposite experience in other, you know, family homes that they're in. And so, you know, that's something they definitely, you know, they definitely know about me, you know, and that's been for a long time with them. Like even with them, we plan, you know, something for their birthday. And in the moment, it's like, we're just sitting at the table. Are we going? No, we're not. No, let's order pizza. Forget it. And so I think they bring, actually, I mean, I hope they bring that out into the world, because that to me is really such an important piece of using yourself and your heart as your guide. You know, there's so, the opposite of that is torture.
Well, I imagine also it must be rather challenging for them because it's in kind of conflict with how they develop at that age, right? Mm-hmm. They're so dependent on advice from their peers, mm-hmm. and getting some sort of confirmation from others around them in terms of, you know, even what's acceptable and what isn't. And then, you know, to be given this other option of, well, you don't have to do that. You know, right. You can learn how to go inside and find your own answers.
Yeah, it's really
very valuable, you know, to give that alternative method of knowing what's right for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And really challenging, like you said. My daughter mm-hmm. doesn't like change, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, so that's challenging for her, as I'm changing things. You know, it's not so up and down, but I will definitely pause and ask, you know, is this right? And if it's not, it's not.
So I have to ask you, Robin, how do you think that spirituality and sexuality are connected?
Well, I think that when we're really, well, first of all, I think, you know, everything is connected. So there's no real separation, but the connection that we have when we're in the realm of our sexual expression and the depth of connection with another human being or human beings, it has the capacity to, of course, open our hearts. And if we allow ourselves to open our hearts and be vulnerable, then we feel what I felt at that first initial time, you know, this connection to the greater God, love. For me, those are the same, like God, love with a capital L, peace with a capital P. Those are all the same energies to me. And so I feel like sexual connection is a doorway. It's one doorway. You know, some people will sit on the top of a mountain and meditate for their entire lives, or, you know, fasting, or, you know, whatever the other practices are, many, many, many. But the sexual connection is one of them. And it's really about allowing ourselves to receive. That I think is the piece. I want to say the piece that's missing. I think it's something that we learn, if we're lucky, that we learn to really, really open to receive. And when we're in that space, really anything's possible. But that's where we are able to receive a connection to God, to love, in a way that maybe we haven't experienced before.
I think this whole need, probably in terms of most of society, to learn how to receive is such a challenge.
It is. And it is, especially here in the US.
Yeah.
Because it's all about do, make something happen. You know, it's not about the receiving. It's very masculine. Receiving is very feminine.
Yeah.
Energy, energetically.
Energetically.
Not biologically. But we're in this masculine culture. Do.
Yeah.
Produce.
Yeah. And it's also where everything, we are encouraged to keep everything on the outside. I mean, kind of like what your daughter was describing, right? Well, you like to go in, you know, and society that we grew up in anyway is one that is constantly taking us out, taking us out and actually conditioning us to cut ourselves off from what is inside. The truer aspects of us that are the necessary ones for us to extend into that outside. And unfortunately, we then start to look for everything outside of us. And so I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly, in terms of our need to really learn how to receive. I know it's a lot of the work that I do with my clients as well. And we have, I think, in this moment, which is also so interesting, isn't it? We have this opportunity to serve ourselves. You know, as we spend so much time inside now, is to really explore what nurtures us, what nourishes us, and I guess take the responsibility of making certain that we get it. So this whole issue with receiving, I think, is one that is really very, very important. And also one of the first things that was so eye-opening for me in the Tantra groups that I had joined in, I know that was probably the first time in my life when I first moved to Arizona and I joined this group. And it was really just about very gentle touch of hands, touch of faces, and offering the opportunities for someone to ask for what it was that they wanted. And this was huge for me. I remember, you know, the first time that I experienced that, I went home and cried. I could feel my heart just like heaving all of this pain and suffering that had accumulated from not allowing myself to receive. So much of my life was always about in service to others, always about, you know, making certain that everyone else was happy and that I was measuring and living up to who they wanted and needed me to be. And what an incredible experience it was to be asked, what would you like?
What would you like to receive?
What would you like to receive? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also had such a profound experience also when I came to Massachusetts the first time. So I was in Massachusetts. I left, went to Australia, and then I came back again. And during that time, I was in a group. And Robin, it was at that healing center in Watertown. What's the name of that?
Yeah, Watertown Center for Healing Arts.
That would make sense.
You're talking about, yeah.
And I don't believe that you were there. I don't think that we've actually met, but it was someone else who was leading the group. And the same thing came up. We were partnered off. And what do you need from your partner? And I remember asking, will you just hold me? Will you just hug me? And again, the tears just flowing, because it is such an incredible thing to learn how to do that and give yourself permission, not just to ask, but to actually receive what it holds for you energetically. And that, I think, is one of the most beautiful things that Tantra has to teach.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I guess you went to ones where one of the people that I trained in my program was leading, probably Lydia.
I don't recall who it was. Yeah. It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the work that you do now, so I know that you are a sex coach and you work with couples. But tell us about this program that you have, Come Back to Love, a Fair Recovery Program. Tell us about that.
Sure. So yes, a lot of my work is with couples. Most of it, I do some, you know, individual work. The relationship piece and the intimacy is, as you can tell and know, is really, really where it's at for me. And I've worked with a lot of couples who have been recovering from affairs or some kind of betrayal over the years. And I always felt like it wasn't enough, like 1 hour session here. It was the therapy model. So 1 hour session, you know, maybe 2 hours a week for some people that absolutely needed that, you know, absolutely did that. And then there'd be a week in between, and then there'd be another session. And I always felt like, oh gosh, you know, so much is happening at that time. So much devastation and confusion and, you know, disorientation, like your whole world is turned upside down. And I felt the desire to support more, you know, to be available more, but couldn't quite figure out how to do it because the therapy model is the therapy model. and I followed those rules. So I put together this program this year that breaks all those therapy rules, but in a good way. It offers really all the support that a couple needs, in my opinion, in my experience of working with them, and also helps them get to the point of understanding how they got to the situation that they're in and what they can do to recover and heal from it and move forward in a shorter amount of time, because it's an intensive, you know, it's a 12-week intensive. And it's been so great. And it sounds funny to say, but I sort of feel an integrity with myself because I feel like I'm offering what I had been wanting to offer.
Wow.
Which is, you know, in the moment when something's happening, to be able to reach out and say, like, we're stuck right now, you know, can you help us? You know, middle of the night, okay, I'm asleep, but, you know, but, you know, in moments during the day when I'm available and I can respond, you know, and just sessions at the frequency that they are, you know, in need. You know, there's a couple right now, I've seen them, I think every 3 days we've had a session.
Wow.
Because that's what's needed right now. They're right in the beginning. They're just starting out, and it's an intense time. And so being able to receive that support and get that support has been really helpful. And then while I'm doing that, I'm teaching the skills of communication, which is, you know, really where I start in the beginning with the couples I work with, no matter what. Because we just didn't learn how to communicate in a respectful, loving way. We just, not something we're taught, you know, we're just not taught how to communicate, how to listen, how to speak in a respectful way, how to listen deeply, and taking some tools from Imago therapy and just some other, you know, modalities, just putting it together in a very simple, active listening, reflective listening way. But it's hard. It's hard to do. It's, I always say it's simple, but it's not easy. So I'm like bringing everything, you know, all of my therapy. I have a lot of experience with internal family systems work. I was trained in that a long time ago. And it's just a wonderful way to look at our experience, what's happening inside, where we get triggered and why, and healing those parts that get triggered. So there's a lot that goes into it, but on the other side of doing this work is clarity about, again, you know, how the couple got there, what needs to be healed in the present, and then learning to rebuild trust. So, you know, in the therapy model, it can take a really long time. Couples never wanted to hear how long, when they would always say, like, how long is this going to take? I'm like, a couple of years, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, but it's true. And it depends on, of course, the situation, but it takes a long time. But when you're able to, you know, have this intensive, you know, sort of container, sacred space to do the work, it's like a jump start into, you know, the healing. So it's been great. It's been really, really great. And I love it. I love the intensive work myself. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, not all therapists want to do intensive work like this. I love it. And I see the value in it for myself. I always have. And for the couples that are willing and ready, I see the value that they receive.
Amazing work. Hmm. Truly amazing work. And the fact that you inspire and give hope that, you know, these couples can, you know, repair their relationships or begin again is really quite amazing. But something came up for me as you were speaking and you were describing how you are teaching them to communicate. Essentially, what you described was, you know, teaching them a form of nonviolent communication, right? Where it comes from a loving kindness. And the question came up for me, considering that energy of nonviolent communication in how they are utilizing energetically that to be the basis of their repair work. Would you say that betrayal then is a form of violent communication?
I wouldn't. And I want to make the distinction between NVC, nonviolent communication, which is like Marshall Rosenberg's coined work. And that is a really beautiful book, which I recommend to everybody. It's just, the book is called Nonviolent Communication. And he also has a lot of wonderful videos online about a very specific way of talking about needs. And actually just a whole vision of relationship that has definitely informed my work. And I gobbled that book up literally in an afternoon when I got my hands on it years ago. So I recommend that, but I wouldn't say no, that it's violent. No, not at all. I definitely would not use those words. There are so many reasons why people stray from their own integrity. So many reasons, and it's so complex. And for me, I'm really looking at it on a soul level, which, you know, is not, maybe not the first thing, certainly not the first thing I lead with when I talk to a couple, because I'm looking at, you know, what's happening emotionally, what's happening in the family, you know, what's happened in their families of origin, where have there been breaks in the falling out in the timeline of their relationship. But there's so much at play, and part of it is the soul journey, like what we came in to experience in our lives and how it's getting played out in often very painful ways. So there's just so many pieces, and I really, I think you said it actually when you were introducing me, it's like, I don't have judgment about the person who stepped out or leaned out of the relationship, or the person who didn't. You know, I don't have judgment about that. I feel like there's always gifts, as hard, as painful as the situations are, and they are. I'm always looking for the meaning, for the purpose, and using that as a launch pad for healing and understanding and compassion.
It's really beautiful. I'm so grateful that you're doing this work in the world. And I love also, Robin, your whole approach where you are taking the stigma out of betrayal. I think so much of, you know, like what you were saying about judgment, you know, that comes from society and our families, and, you know, it's always in judgment. And when we can start to see through the eyes of the soul, right, through the eyes of love, there is something far greater that is present than, you know, just what might appear. And of course, what's part of the conditioning and the reactions that we have when we hear of betrayal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really true.
So your work is really not just healing couples. Your work is really healing the world.
Thank you. That really touches me the way you said it, Marcy.
Yeah, it is. There's nothing more powerful than something that has such a significant impact on bringing people to truth. Mm-hmm. And in the place of love, there would be no judgment. There are conditions to it, and certainly no expectations. So it is, you know, it's an energetic force that is, you know, there is no judgment that can possibly be part of it. And how beautiful that that's the basis of your work, with something that clearly, you know, has been begging to be healed for such a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really true. And when you say that, it's like, it's begging to be healed on a global level,
mm-hmm.
you know, and judgment can't exist when love is present.
That's correct.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think the journey of our humanness is to understand as best we can, to understand that truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're all very blessed by you and very blessed by the work that you do, but also the energy that you bring forward. And like I said before, you're one of those wonderful people who clearly, you know, walks your talk. And you exemplify how important it is for us to raise our vibrational frequency so that we can start to see things differently, because nothing is as it seems, and clearly nothing is as we have been taught.
Yes, both of those are very true.
Yes.
Yes, that is, you know, what you said on that, you know, sort of last note there, that nothing is as it seems, you know, that is so true.
Yeah.
And if we could remember to take, you know, steps away, my spiritual teacher would say 30 feet above,
mm-hmm.
you know, go up, look down and see what you see.
Yeah. You
know, and open to receive.
That's right.
Something different. Yeah. Than what the mind wants to see.
Well, I'm very grateful also to, was it Dale?
Mm-hmm.
And what I see as his beautiful gift to you of Chai, when mm-hmm. you started to give workshops again.
Yes.
Bringing you 18 male, 18 females, and said, okay, and now begin your work. Mm-hmm. To life and to the life of all those that you touch, and of course the ripple effects of all that they touch as well. And no truer meaning to life could we have than, as I said before, the impact that you're having. So thank you so very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, and thank you so much, Marcy. Such a gift reflecting all of this back to me, and also holding it with me, is a real treasure.
Yes, mine as well. So Robin, how can everybody find you?
Well, my website is pretty easy, comebacktolove.com, and it's all spelled out. And you can go there and you'll see how to reach me and how to contact me. And I really welcome personal emails.
Okay, great.
To everything. So anybody that has a question or a comment or just wants to explore the affair program and or participate in the daily intimacy every Tuesday morning, we so welcome newcomers and more community always. So
that, of course, I can highly recommend myself. And so everyone, all of Robin's contact information is right here on her interview page. Just remember, so simple, come back to love and you'll find Robin. Come back to love, you'll find Robin. Come back to love, you'll find Robin. So come back to love and the Affair Recovery Program. Such important work. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. And thank all of you. I appreciate you so much for giving your time and your energy, your focus, and your willingness to come forward to learn these wonderful new concepts, or perhaps old concepts in a new way, and to just all of us coming together to bear witness to the incredible journeys that each of us has taken and continues to take. As you can see with Robin's life, it is a constant state of change and evolution as she has allowed spirit to simply continue to move and work through her, a conduit open to receiving. So thank you all. And of course, I will see you back here again at the High Vibe Tribe podcast. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Bye-bye.